We speak peace and comfort to the family members. In the name of Jesus, we say, Troy, get up. Breathe. Breathe in the name of Jesus. Troy, in the name of Jesus, breathe. In the name of Jesus, enemy, get. Get. Get away from my brother, Troy, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She won't just bless your shoes off, y'all. She'll bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Sister Judy Gifford Parker. Her title is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Back to where I was telling people, I can't call for you, that they have to call. In the nursing home when I was teaching this to them, I told about Steve Hill and how he called. He was I've told the story before, but maybe there's someone listening that hadn't heard this before. But Steve Hill was a mighty man of God. But before he was a mighty man of God, he was a drug runner. And he ran drugs from Peachtree, Georgia to California. And there'd been people praying for him, though. And that's so important that when you have a prodigal, that you just keep praying for him. But he was laying one night under a bridge somewhere and between California and Georgia. And he began to think, you know, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to him. And he began to think, what am I doing with my life? What? He decided to go home, go to his mother's house. And he said, I'd steal from her because he was on drugs himself. He said, I'd steal from her. But he said, I went to her house. I got in bed because he hadn't had any drugs. He decided to quit drugs. So his body started shaking and revolting. And he said, a knock came at the door. And my mama went, and their preacher had come by to see him every once in a while to try to help him. And Of course, he wouldn't have anything to do with him. But that moment, the preacher was there, came in back into the bedroom. The mama let him back, and he started yelling, "Help me, preacher, help me, preacher, help me." And he said, "Steve, I can't help you." "Then why did you come here?" he said. He said, "Steve, I can't help you, but there's one who can, and his name is Jesus. And if you will call on him, he will help you, Steve." And Steve was giving us this testimony himself. He was telling a whole bus of about 40 people where we were getting ready to go to the airport. Early morning, light wasn't even in the bus yet. And he stood and he told us this story. And he said, "I began to yell, Jesus, from the top of my lungs." He said, "I'm going, Jesus, Jesus." And he said, "My body stopped shaking." He said, "Peace came." My body was, he got up from there, went to Teen Challenge, got his life straightened out, married a little girl there that had just gotten her life straightened out. They wound up going to Argentina as missionaries. And I was sitting on a bus with my husband and my brother and the whole bus of people there listening to his story. And you know, that's what Jesus does. Jesus transforms us, but we have to call. You can't just, one person told me, she said, "I've always thought my prayers." No. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So you got to do something. You've got to believe in your heart and in your head, and you got to confess with your mouth. And so what's so hard about that, you know? Coming to the point where we realize our need. Without him, we can do nothing. And stop listening to the other voices. The Bible says, "My sheep know my voice, and they will not follow anyone else." But one lady told me, little lambs don't. Little lambs have to learn the voice of their shepherd by staying close to him. As they grow, they learn his voice. And we as Christians, we as people, have to learn the difference between God's voice and the devil's voice and our own voice. And sometimes that is really hard to judge, mm-hmm. because the devil will come up and tell you even to do this thing or that thing. But let me tell you this. How do you know? One of the things, how you know, is does it bring confusion? If there's confusion in it, the devil's behind it. Is there peace in it? Is there truth in it? Does it flow with the fruits of the Spirit? Kindness, love, peace, joy, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Does it fit in all that? Or is there anger, strife, hate? Then we know that's of the devil. Sometimes our voice gets mixed up in there a little bit because the enemy can sound just like our own think. So sometimes I think we just need to say, "Jesus, help me discern. Is this you? Is this the devil? Is this God?" Most of the time, the Lord won't be concerned with the color of pants you wear or the color of shirt or sweater you wear. And I know when I was a young Christian, I'd say, "What should I wear? Well, usually the Lord don't care about stuff like that. But I guess he'll tell you if you want to ask him. But, you know, sometimes our own think can get mixed up in there. And that's what the devil comes. Joyce Meyer has a book, The Battlefield of the Mind. And that's where the battle is in our mind. And then how do we know? You know, that's the very basis. I think there's some really good people that just get their voice mixed up with the voice of the Lord. I think there are even some ministers behind the pulpit. And that sounds bad to say, but we need to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And not thinking that we have to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Or if we're praying for people, I'm just going to say it. I don't want to offend anybody, but pastors, don't think you have to be the Holy Spirit and push someone down when you're praying with them. That sounds so crude, but it's true. Don't. If the Holy Spirit wants them on the ground, guess what? He's going to give them an experience to go with it. Mm-hmm. If you push them down, they're not going to have any experience except falling on their hind end if somebody don't catch them just right and some injury, and you could get sued, which happened in Oklahoma City. The church got sued for $1 million, and Benny Hinn got sued for $1 million because the woman died. someone fell on her. She wasn't the one getting pushed down, but somebody who got pushed down fell on her, and she died. And they got the fire suit out of them. And I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit don't do things like that.
Right.
So if he moves on somebody and they fall, and I have seen both kinds. I've had several courtesy drops, one man called them, you know. But I don't even know why I went to this. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do his job. And I didn't used to even, because the scripture doesn't even talk about falling as a, and I have seen it where if people, someone demon possessed fall, and why they fell, I think it's because the enemy don't want them praying with them. Because you push someone down who's demon possessed and get, you know, nobody's going to pray with that person. They're laying there and they need deliverance. Sometimes you know somebody needs deliverance more than they need to be on the floor. They need to be getting a hold of God. But I didn't have any confidence when I was young, because the only time I'd ever seen anybody fall was in our church when I was a little girl. And I asked my mom about it, and she said, oh, she's funny. I said, why did Sister Calhoun fall? She said, oh, she's just weird. She's just funny. Use that word funny, which meant weird. And so I had no confidence in there being the real deal on that. And when I was had two young boys, were in Colorado, and the pastors were gone from the church and had a visiting evangelist, and he was having people come up by rows and fall to be prayed for, and everybody was falling. And so since I didn't believe it was real, I was trying to make up in my mind, am I going to look like the only sinner in the building and stand my ground and not let him push me down, or am I going to just have a courtesy drop? You know, that was my thinking. And when my time, I got in front of that man, the next realization I had, I don't know if he touched me or if he didn't, but the next realization I had is I'm on the floor. I had no sensation of falling. I had not, it was just, I was standing and I was on the floor. And then this aura of glory and peace, different than I'd known Jesus since I was a child, but and filled with the Holy Spirit at 12. But there was a special experience that happened with that in my heart. So I knew it was real. I have come out of meetings, a big meeting in Oklahoma City. I had my neighbor with us. And with me, and the gentleman, everybody wants the Holy Spirit, come over here. So my neighbor, who really, truly, as far as I know, hadn't even given her heart to the Lord yet, but she went over to that line, so I went with her to stand with her. It didn't take me that long to see that guy was showing people how to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now say these words, yabba-dabba-doo, you know, just, and then he was going, now see if you can tell the difference that it turns into tongues. And so we let, what I did is slip away and said, I'll see you back at the car, whatever. And I went in another prayer, that this prayer for several things. So I went to another group, and I wish I'd taken her, because then 2 or 3 days later, she left saying, I got the Holy Spirit. But 2 or 3 days later, she came over to my house and she said, I didn't get nothing. Well, you know, friends, when people get something, they get it and they know they got it. And we don't have to be the Holy Spirit. We don't have to try to make people. You can't fill people with the Holy Spirit. You can't jumble their tongue enough to make them think they're speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when he comes in, he fills them. And he gives them anointing and power. And they know that their life has changed. And they see it. And they have all the evidence there with them. And so I don't know why all that came up. I'm just saying we need to trust Jesus. And the pastors have to really trust Jesus, because they really have to know, is this me? I went, this is being really raw gutsy this morning. I'm sorry. I don't want to be offensive. But we went to a meeting in another town. My husband and I did out at, anyway, wasn't anything connected with my church, but it was another church. And we went. And the guy preached really good, and then he asked for prayer. And then the people that came up there, I saw he was pushing them down. I could tell. And they were old people. We were outside. We were outside on the ground. It was an outside meeting. It's been warmer. And I had gone up for prayer, too, but I could see that he's pushing people down. And so I spoke to my husband, and I said, get behind me. And so he got behind me. So the guy, when he's going to pray for me, started to pull me forward. And I said, oh, no, I'll stand here. He's going to stand behind me. And he saw that we were not going to let him push me down. And so he prayed for us and then went on, you know, to the deal. But I was like, someone needs to talk to that young man. He so wants something to happen so bad. He just wants something to happen so bad. And this is sounding bad. I don't mean to be off. I'm just wanting the body of Christ to realize the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if he wants those people on the ground, he can put them there. And then you don't touch them. You lay your hand lightly on their forehead or on their shoulder, and you believe God, because God is the miracle worker. You're not. You can't do it, no matter how much you push, pull, tell what to do or say. You're not God. Step back and trust him. Let him work in their lives. He's able. He's God. Do your part. Fasting and praying and seeking God, and then he'll show up and he'll do the work. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. You can't push people into a glorious blessing from God. You can't yell somebody into a blessing from God. All you're responsible for, sir, I don't know why I'm saying this, sir or ma'am, all you're responsible for is giving the word of God out. That's it. You're responsible is to tell the story of Jesus. That's your responsibility. And you're not responsible where it falls, because it's going to fall on all kinds of ground. It's going to fall on the good ground and produce. It's going to fall on the hard ground that's going to cast it off. It's going to fall on stony and all kinds of ground. But there's going to be some harvest when you, and you're not responsible for the harvest. God is responsible for the harvest. He's Lord of the harvest. All you have to do is be responsible for giving it. You cast the seed. That's all you have to do is cast the seed. And when you cast the seed, the power's in that seed. And it's going to grow and germinate when it can find the right soil, when it can find the right heart. And when you give out, it's kind of like fishing. You go to the ocean and you throw in and you have no idea which kind of fish is going to get on your... But you feel it, and you pull that thing in, and you go, well, that wasn't what I wanted. Well, that's what you got, so what do? Work with it. You know,
put it in the boat and let the Lord skin it.
Yeah, and you.
He's the fish cleaner, not me.
He's the fish cleaner, not me. But anyway, I don't mean to be harsh. I'm just saying, pastors, we're in the work of the Lord. We want to be effective. We want something to happen so bad that it's so easy to get in our own flesh. So easy to say, okay, and give somebody a shove. And somehow we think we've done something really good when somebody falls to the ground. And it just means that they cracked their backside pretty hard and they're pretty cotton picking mad. You know, that's happened to me a time or two. And I was upset. That sounds bad. That sounds bad. I'm just being way too raw gutsy. I'm just want us to say, you know what? God is God, and he will work for you. All you have to do is seek him and call on him and trust him and do what you can do. And I want to say this one thing. There was a couple called to ministry. They're going to go to Africa as missionaries. But when they were still young and before they had gotten that far in their ministry, they would go out to the lake. And they would on Sunday mornings. And they would go around to all the campsites. And they would say, we're having a service up here at such and such time. Y'all come. Well, one Sunday, just one man came. And so they said, well, we won't have church today, sorry. And they packed up their stuff and left. They started back into the city, and they were in a van. And he said, simultaneously, God spoke to both of them and said, what's wrong? Was your job too small today? You know what? Sometimes we don't want to minister to the lowly and the down and out or just one. We can't just do one. We're bigger than that. You know what? If it's just one, that was your assignment today. Be faithful in those little things. Be faithful. One guy told his assistant, I think it was a youth pastor, must have been newly hired. I don't know. But anyway, he said, grab the trash and take it out. He said, I'm not called to carry out trash. Oh, well, then you must not be called here then. Bye. He lost his job. You know what? You got to have a servant's heart. And if God makes an opportunity for you, and there it is. You know, I found out what missionaries do. They carry out trash. They fix meals. They eat. They sleep. They do the necessary things. They clean the snotty noses. They are down serving people. And we've got to first get a servant's heart and go, you know what? If God opens a door and it's Royal Rangers, it wasn't the main stage yet. What is a Royal Ranger? As a little boy, you're going to form. You're going to touch him for his life. He may be the next Billy Graham. And who reached Billy Graham? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Be willing to be a servant in the smallest place with a little child. Be willing to serve if you serve and you take the offering at your church. Be willing if the pastor says, you know, we need help today. Our janitor's sick. Would you mind cleaning the toilets? Get in there and clean the toilets. Do it for Jesus. And whatever it is, the Bible says our hand finds a do it for the glory of God. Trust God with the results. Trust God with the results. And anyway, and let me just end it with this. It's talking about Jesus. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my Savior. He is my guide, and he is my peace. He is my joy, he's my comfort, and he's my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love, his burden is light, and his goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise and the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers and the leader of leaders, and the overseer of overcomers, and his goal is to have a relationship with me and you. He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never mislead me. He'll never forget me. He'll never overlook me. He'll never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I am hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face losses, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, every day. He is God. He is faithful. I am his. He is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it, and that settles it. God is in control, and I'm on his side, and that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing, for God is.
Amen. Whenever you were talking, when you were speaking about discerning, learning God's voice, mm-hmm. how the lamb has to learn the shepherd's voice, mm-hmm. when you were speaking that, the Lord showed me a picture of a mom with a baby in her belly. Mm. And then he asked me this. When does a baby learn its mama's voice?
In the womb.
When it's in the womb. Now, when that baby comes to earth, how does that baby know that woman's voice that's at the store speaking to him, that baby knows because we can come to a mama's belly. You know, have you ever went, I've done it. Hey, baby, mm-hmm. it's Aunt Moo Moo.
Yeah.
Hey, you know,
yeah.
that baby hears that mama's voice from inside. Because they are in the same body.
Good.
And this just, God's so cool how he teaches, leads, and guides me. Mm-hmm. I got a picture of a pregnant mom with a baby. And then there was a woman speaking to the baby. And then he said, How does that baby know which voice is his mom's? Because that baby is inside her and hears it on a different level.
Oh, wow. That's good.
It's an inside instead of coming from the outside.
Right.
vibrating through the muscle and the tissue of the baby, the mama's belly, to get to the baby's ears. Wow. That baby learns his mama's voice because he's inside the mama. Yeah. Now, the Holy Spirit is inside believers who have received. And I just was moved to tears when he showed me that.
Yes.
And I just wanted to share that with y'all because it really moved my heart. How God shows me things.
Yeah.
And he wants to do the same for all his children.
Right.
I am no better than anyone.
He actually says we'd have, Joel too says we'd have dreams and visions in the last days. So there's no reason we can't walk with the Lord to where we can't have. I don't usually have just two dreams that I ever remember, you know. When they come from God, you're going to know they come from God. But God can give you visions. He can give you, there's just so many good things. When we walk with him, it's a joy. It's a delight. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So come to him. If you're not walking where you need to be, pray. Call on his name. It doesn't take much. Steve, yell Jesus. That's good enough. That's good enough. Amen.
Name above all names.
Amen. Well, thanks for the opportunity.
We appreciate you coming and sharing with us. And I just want to say, you know, you might have thought your notes were a mess, but the Lord just weaves it all together up in this room because you continued on the theme of letting the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing that in this room all week. So it's kind of neat to me to see how God weaves it together all of the people that come speak don't even speak to one another. Some are even different denominations.
Don't even know who's been here. Yeah.
Yeah. But he weaves it all together.
Wow.
So it's so neat how he does that. And
yes,
you've always been one of my favorites.
Well, thank you. I love it.
I always listen.
I love it.
Like listening to you. You bring me to tears a lot. But it's okay.
Well,
I'll forgive you for that.
That's because the Holy Spirit's helping me.
But I really do love the theme that God is speaking about letting the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be the intercessor and grab a hold of God and reach out.
Right.
And I like Karen Wheaton, and she said, love lets go because our kids, they grow. They have to go live their own life when they're adults. Love lets go, but faith holds on.
Yeah.
On to the Father, and we hold on to our kid with the faith.
Yes.
While we intercede.
Wow.
So
the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes much. So when you think it's not really, it says be effectual, be fervent, keep praying, and then it'll amount to a lot more than you trying to go fix it. Sometimes when we try to go fix it, we muddy the water.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And another thing about that scripture that you just brought up, something that the Lord highlighted to me with that scripture, is the righteousness is on our breastplate of our armor. It's his righteousness.
Yes.
So he still hears us, even if we don't feel like we're righteous.
Yes.
He still hears us.
Right.
Because it's Christ's righteousness he sees in us.
Right.
So
That's good.
Oh, you have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our beautiful sister, Judy Gifford Parker.
Yeah.
Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.